And then we had Lot. The election, the people decide who's going to fulfill the duty, who's going to be in charge, what's the tasks that are doled out. That's by election. The people choose. Or a group of representatives choose. People choose representatives, the representative choose the thing. If you have appointment, then you have somebody in charge who says, okay, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. You do the other. Each one of these, both election and appointment, they have their own fallbacks and advantages. By these votes, by election and appointment, or by election, you get a consensus. The group decides, the majority of the group decides what's going to happen, what's going to go forth. In the future, if there are problems, you have to blame the process. We have examples of that today. We have a person today that won an election that can't stop talking about the election he won and how he won and whatnot. That's one of the problems with elections. You can blame the process or you can blame the people. The thing with appointments is if there's a problem in the future and somebody in charge has said, well, you're going to do this or this is going to be your job, the problem, blame can always go back, or the responsibility, accountability, that can always go back to the person who made the appointments. Mm-hmm. So if I was made the assistant pastor of the church and I didn't, and later down the road, I don't want to be, I was appointed this, I can go to the pastor or the founder at that time and say, you know what, I never asked to be the assistant pastor. Why did you make it? Well, the truth is, I didn't have to take the appointment. Mm-hmm. It's just the problem still with me. Mm-hmm. Just like with the election, you don't have to, because you're elected, you don't have to take office. Even if you ran and funded it yourself, you still don't have to take the office. So what happens is, What Israel did during this time, what David did, actually not what Israel did, what David did was he doled out these responsibilities through the method of lots. Whether the lot was the long stick, you know, who picks the long stick, who picks the short stick, that's the person who gets the job, or that's the gate that this group watches. It was taken out of human hands. It took away, which placed it in God's hands. It takes away the clique mentality or the excuse that, well, you guys wanted him there, so you gave him that, or you didn't want them there, so you didn't give them that job. And then David subjected everybody to the lot, from students to teachers, from masters to servants, from those who were up high to those who were down low. Everybody who had something to do in this case, was subjected to the lot. And that way, if there was a problem down the road, you know who to talk to. You know who to bring your complaints to. Bring them to the one who controls the lot. In this case, that person would be God. And if you were an atheist, which they weren't so many back then, but if you were an atheist, chance. Good luck finding Chance's grievance box. So anyway, so in chapter 24, the lots were cast. We see this as significant for the reasons we just spoke. We talked about Nadab and Abihu, those who they went in, and they were very famous in the first verses of that chapter 24. We see them mentioned. We move into chapter 25. They talk about in chapter 24 the Levites, the divisions of the priests, what the different families or the different parts of the family the priests would do. Talked about some other Levites and what they did. We move into chapter 25 and we're talking about the musicians. Do we notice anything about the musicians? What do you notice in chapter 1? What were the musicians doing? Or what was their job?
Chapter 1.
I'm sorry, I meant verse 1. Oh. And let me ask that question a different way. What do you think musicians do in the church? What's the role of the musicians?
They're supposed to enhance the service.
know, add, I think they add an atmosphere of praise, worship, you know, just create an atmosphere and just accompany and enhance the service, enhance the worship of God, the praise of God.
Enhance service, enhance the praise of God.
Mm-hmm. As it pertains to David, he had an understanding of what music could do. Mm-hmm. When you play as unto the Lord, he was able to soothe or calm the spirit of the king. As he played as unto the Lord, you know, giving praise through the instrument that was given, and many of the psalms that many towards the end of Psalms admonishes the reader to praise God upon the instruments, the organs, the stringed instruments, you know, the trumpet and all, the timbrel, the dance, all of that. But the music, since that's what we're focusing on, is a big part of that. As Evangelist Nesbitt said, creating, sustaining an atmosphere of praise, and also in and of itself as a praise.
Amen. So we see all of that. Do we see that in churches today? Musicians. All right, we see that. We see them enhancing the service. We see them in the role of praise and worship, and then affecting the spirit of the listeners. And David reflects that in how he partitioned the musicians in chapter 25. In chapter 25, he spoke of them. Moreover, David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals. So just like you're saying, it's not just to enhance. This was their job. Don't get me wrong, to enhance the service. But they were to go first. It was like they were supposed to prophesy with these things. It's like that. It's like, I'm trying to think of there was a related field that when I was reading this before, I wanted to bring in. I didn't write it down. Whereas when you look at it, in the past, folks had to have like a degree to do such and such. Which today, a guy that's walking off the street with a little natural talent can do that. Mm-hmm. It seems almost like that with the musicians. You see how much it was thought of. These guys are going to actually affect the mood in the tabernacle of people in the presence of God. Today, basically, it's like, well, if you can, you know, put your chords together, do a root 4-5 chord, you know, progression. You can follow the hymns or whatever. You can read music. Yeah, we'll put you in, you know. Or maybe you have a gift. We'll even pay you. You know, maybe you have a gift. But here, David is saying these people aren't supposed, these were actually, the criteria here, or their job was like our criteria today for ministers, right? Actual ministers, people who are supposed to preach.
That's the Message translation. It uses the word preach, to preaching and music.
Wow. So we have here a very, very different knowledge, or a bit different understanding of what David was trying to do with the musicians, with a lot of people, what they do today. Mm-hmm. Although we understand that this is what's supposed to happen. Even when we put somebody in music, I know in our church, we're expecting the person to be able to understand not just music theory,
right,
but understand worship. Yeah. Yeah. All right, you worship God. There's no problem with the people. Remember, we were in another church, and you're trying to speak, and the person is playing over you, you know. Well, if that happens here, it's truly an oversight, because the musician here understands such things, you know. And that's what David had in mind. So we see here that the musicians, they prophesied with their instruments. And here in chapter 25, this is where we saw the second part, verse 8, lots cast for duty. The people that, the family members or the family groups that were musicians were separated out of a group that was family members of the tribe of Levi. Exactly. some of the sons of Asaph and Henan and Jeduthun, their job was to prophesy with music. We go through and we see other divisions among the musicians, how they'd be laid out, and from the different sons, how many people were separated, or family groups, units were separated out to do music. And that brings us to chapter 26, concerning the divisions of the gatekeepers. Now, is there a name in chapter 26 that caught your eye when they were talking about the people who are there for security and for keeping order? There's one name that jumped right out at me. I want to know, did it jump out at you? Because to me, it was ironic that this name, the children of this person, had a role in keeping order.
Hmm? No. I know what you're talking about. Let me go back. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm trying to actually find it before you do.
No, I know exactly what it is. You're talking about Manasseh?
Hmm?
Manasseh?
I'll give you a hint. This person had something to do in the wilderness. These are the sons of this person. And they had a little altercation with...
It's not Korah.
Korah! What do we know about Korah?
Korah, is that it?
K-O-R-E?
K-O-R-A-H. Korah and Naam. Isn't that the same for, let's see, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, it's the same one, because they have, or, K-O-R-A-H.
Mm-hmm. Who do we know about? Korah, sons of, son of, hold on. The Korahites, the sons of Korah, of the sons of Asa. So my question is, because that one jumped out at me. If it is the same person, do you think that would be kind of weird?
Well, he didn't have any sons then. Yeah, I thought they all got swallowed up.
Did they? Did all of them get swallowed up?
That's why I don't think it's the same one, because it should be. I would think it would be what do you call it? Reference to one in the wilderness, yeah. But the only reference is to Psalm 42.
Psalm what word? The Psalm 42. Let's look at Psalm 42.
To the chief musician for the sons of Korah.
Sounds like a homework.
It does sound like a homework question. So your first question for homework tonight are the sons of Korah from chapter 26 the same as the sons of Korah from the wilderness with Moses?